Okay, we would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Le'iloi Nishmas. Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avraham, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon and Dov, their neshama should have an aliyah. So today we have a great topic that is probably too close to home for most of us, and that is memory and the problem of not forgetting, or the problem of forgetting, which is a problem according to this Mishnah. So, if you look into, I didn't say hearing. Hearing is a different Mishnah. Okay? So if you look in this Mishnah is going to be similar along the lines of other concepts that we've seen in previous Mishnayos. And at the end, we're going to see a source that ties all of them together and tries to find a distinction between the different Mishnayos that we've been doing. But it does use the extreme language and formulation that we're sort of getting used to, that things that we might do often are called into question and sort of given a harsh decree and punishment, something that we should at least try to take more seriously. But let's see what the Mishnah says. So Mishnah 8 in chapter 3, Rebbe Dustai, Rebbe Anai, Mishum, Rebbe Meir, Omer. So this is, I think, the first time we've actually had a chain of statements. So we usually have one person saying something. Here, I believe it's the first time we've seen somebody saying something in the name of somebody else. So Rabbi Dustai said in the name of Rabbi Yanai, instead of Rabbi Meir, Kol hashocheach davar echad mimishnaso, somebody who forgets one thing from their learning, ma'ale alav hakasuv, the verse considers that, ki'ilu mischayev b'nafsho, as if they are worthy of death. Now, it is an explicit, it is ki'ilu, right? So now, you might want to say, so I'm not even going to try to remember it, I'm not going to learn in the first place. And this way, you know, it's dangerous to come to Shirim. Because if you forget it, you know, if you didn't know it, that's a different story.
Remember what you just said.
Okay, so now there is a, it's not that you are mischayev v'nafsho, it's ki'ilu. It says if, so it's not an equation, it's a
analogy.
Thanks. Good to have you back. Okay. Shenamar. Now, we have a pasuk. Now, we've seen in the past where we've quoted ideas, but not without. I think last week there was no pasuk. It said the verse considers it X and didn't give us a verse. Here we actually have a verse. What is the verse? Shenamar. Raki shamer lecha shmor nafshecha ma'od, pen tishkacha sedvarim asher ruwei nacha. So the pasuk in Devarim says that you should be very careful and shmor nafshecha ma'od. You should be very protective of your soul, of your life, that you should not forget the things that you've seen. And what are the things that you've seen? The next verse goes on to talk about Mamad Har Sinai. Maybe you would understand that as the experience of Mamad Har Sinai, but here we are extrapolating and we're saying this refers to any Torah concept. We have to be very careful, and our life, the way he's reading it, is on the line, if you will, if we forget anything that we learn. Okay, so it's a pretty grim statement, but there is some hope. And the hope is in the second half of the Mishnah. Yachol afilu takfa alav Mishnah. So, what if, how do you translate this? We're going to see in the commentators. What if it's not my fault? Let's say, how do they translate it? Proved too hard for him. It's too much.
Overcome.
Okay, maybe it overcame. Maybe the forgetfulness overcame this person. So maybe you would think that even in that case, the person's life is on the line, if you will. Talmud Lomar, therefore, it comes to tell us, no, it's not that case. You have an excuse. It says, "Pen yasru mevavecha kol yimecha yecha." Ha'inu mischayev b'nafsho ad sheyasha v'yasira melibo. There has to be an active removal. So if I just don't remember because it's not my fault and we all forget and we're getting older or we whatever, that's not my fault. I'm onus. It's only if I actively try to remove the Torah from my heart.
You choose to forget it.
So we're going to have to, meaning who's doing that? Right? That's a pretty extreme case that I'm actively trying to forget. Right? That's pretty weird. So we basically limited the Mishnah now from, on the one hand, we start off by saying it's really bad to forget anything, and then we say it's really not that bad because it's not my fault. So we're going to have to, as we go through the sources, we're going to have to find the balance here. What are we talking about? In what case am I responsible? What's the normative statement here? Right? As we speak about in Pirkei Avos, this is one of the running themes, is that for the most part, Pirkei Avos we look at as being prescriptive. It's something we should be doing. What's the doing here? What should I be working on, if you will? Or is he just telling me a fact? If I forget, it's as if my life's on the line. If I do it on purpose, not if I do it by accident. So as we go through the sources, we're going to have to tackle to try to figure out what exactly is he talking about? What are the parameters? What is the prescription? What should I be working on? What's the takeaway? Yeah.
So since the passage that's quoted is Remes, the Maamar Har Sinai, could you blur this into Dabur Echad, could be Dibur Echad, so it's, if you forget Anokha Hashem Elokecha, then you're higher than that?
Okay, so if you forget God, then that's the problem. So now, Barry's jumping ahead to the end. Just flip over your page to source number 9. Right, so Rabbi Shiloni is pointing out, and it is important to make it clear, that this Mishnah is a drusha. It's not pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk does not say, if you forget something, your life is on the line. The pasuk is saying, don't forget the experience that you have actually seen of Maamar Har Sinai, right? And tell that over to your children and your grandchildren. That's the context of the pasuk. This is a drasha extrapolating and saying, even the thing that you heard in the drasha last Shabbos, don't forget. Right? So now, but getting to Barry's point, look at source number 9. So this is sometimes we like to point out a Hasidic reading of things. Right? Usually there's a word that they highlight, and they take that to either invert sometimes or give a secondary meaning to what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. And the word that they highlight here is the same word Barry said, echad. Why use the word, you forget echad, you forget one thing? So we are understanding it is that it means that every single detail you have to remember. But maybe there's a hint with the word echad to mean something else, and it's a little bit different than how you interpreted it, but that doesn't mean yours is wrong. It's just another way. So look here, Rabbi the Yad Dos Ephraim quotes our Mishnah. Rabbi Stiber, Rabbi Yonai, B'Shem Rabbi Meir, Omer Kol HaShocheya. He's on the bottom left-hand side of the second page, second side. So if you get one thing from your Mishnah, so Yachol Afilu Taklo Mishnah, so even if you forget by accident, that's not your fault. Now, here's the commentary, end of the third line. Nira Lafarish. This goes all the way back to the Baal Shem Tov, the earliest Hasidic thought, who says as follows. It's a different Gemara. The Gemara in Chagiga says, Al-Amram Zechonon Mavrach B'Chagiga Perakama V'Shavtam Re'isem Vein Tzadik. Right? You should try to tell the difference between a Tzadik and a Rasha. Eino domesh shone perko mea pa'amim shone mea ve'echad. So there's a famous Mishnah, a famous Gemara that says that if you learn something 100 times, it's not even compared to if you learn 101 times. Meaning, you learn 101 times, that's awesome, amazing. 100 times, eh. Right? So meaning, 100 times is okay, but it's not even, it's qualitatively different if you learn it 101 times. So what's the teaching there? V'hiksha, and he asked the following question. V'chi b'shvil pam acha sheshona yoser yikra oved elokim. So you read one more time. Now all of a sudden, there's context here that we didn't do inside. But the one who does 101 is considered an oved elokim, somebody who worships God. Somebody who does 100 is not, you didn't worship God. 100 times not worshiping God. 101 is worshiping God. Does that really make sense? That one extra time is going to be that big of a difference? V'zeh shoshana mea pa'amim yikra lo avdu, 100 times not enough. V'teiris, he says that can't be true. The message can't be between 100 and 101. What's the message? V'teiris, demasha amar mea ve'echad, 101. Hainu shemachnes alufo shel olam bilimudo lihidabik v'borer b'Hashem. Right? It's not that you learned it 101 times. Is you learned it 100 times with the echad. With God. So Echad is a reference to God. Right? So the difference between learning without God in your consciousness versus learning with God in your consciousness, that's the difference between somebody who worships God, Oved Elokim, and not Oved Elokim. Well, so that's the Gemara there. What about, how does that have to do with over here? L'zeh osa leikar Oved Elokim, u'perishu od b'zeh kasuv achas b'shana, rotzal amar she'achas l'fosh al Oved b'limdo akad dvar av kadoshim, v'zehu she'amar gam kein b'mishnah ha'laz kola shokeach davar echad. Anybody who forgets one thing, but not one thing, it's davar echad. You forget Hashem in Mishnaso, ma'alav akasuv kilim eschai b'navsho. So it's all about the message here from the Hasidic reading is that it's not about forgetting one thing, it's a forgetting God when you learn. That's the problem.
Even one time with God is better than 100 times without.
Even one times with, I mean, you could make that, he's not saying that explicitly, but yeah, maybe. Don't make Torah an intellectual pursuit, or I wouldn't say it as strong as that. Maybe they would say it that way. I would say you can make Torah intellectual pursuit with God, right? I mean the nefesh. So this gets into a whole big discussion of how much contemplation of God should we be doing when we're actively learning Torah. So this was a big fight between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim back when, in the 17th, 18th centuries. And the Hasidim focused almost exclusively on that this Echad is the main point. Focusing on God, contemplating about God is really the essential aspect, and the intellectual pursuit is not as important. Right, so you always have to think about how do I relate to God? What's my mystical experience, if you will, while I'm learning? And the facts aren't as important. So sort of inverting, if you will, the main message of the Mishnah seems to be remember facts. And the Hasidim are saying, don't care about remembering facts, care about your relationship to God. And now, so there was a whole back and forth as that happened. The Vilna Gaon was very against Hasidim when it started. And then his student is Rav Chaim of Volozhin. Rav Chaim of Volozhin wrote a sefer called Nefesh HaChaim, and Nefesh HaChaim is a polemic to some extent against Hasidim, a little bit less intense than how the Vilna Gaon was, but he actually wrote it within the context of Kabbalah. So from a mystical perspective, why some of the things that the Hasidim were doing at the time was inappropriate. So within Shaar Dalet, his fourth chapter, he elaborates a lot on the concept of learning Torah. So this is really, I don't think he quotes this explicitly, I haven't seen it in a while, but if the main point that he makes there in terms of, so should I be thinking about God while I'm learning, or should I not think about God when I'm learning? Is learning about the information, or is learning about connecting to God? So he argues that learning is about connecting to God, but through the information. But you're allowed to stop, he says, for a few minutes, every hour, let's say, and contemplate, I'm doing this for the sake of God. Right? I'm trying to connect to God while I'm learning. So it's sort of like a balance. It's not that the whole thing is a mystical connecting to God. It's I'm learning, but it's okay to stop to remember that I'm doing this for the sake of God, that it's not for a class, I'm not studying for a test, I'm not trying to outshine somebody next to me with my vast amounts of knowledge. It's really about connecting to God. So it's sort of like there's a little bit of a tangent within the context of this balance of is it information that's important, or is it the echad, the connection to Hashem, that we're going to be focusing on. So now, that's great. I was about to say forget about that. Don't forget about that. Remember that in the back of your head, because nobody else is going to learn the Mishnah like that. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the first part of the first page, first side, and we're going to learn the classic ways of understanding the Mishnah. Remember, the Hasidic way is inverting the concept. Echad is about God. That's not really what it means literally, if you will. Echad means one thing. So now, what's the message? Back to how we framed it before, as we read the commentators. What is the main message of the Mishnah? What am I forgetting? What am I remembering? When is it my fault? When is it not my fault? So let's see the gamut of explanations here. So look at source number two. Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. Rabbi Dustai, Rabbi Naim, Rabbi Meir, Kol Shochech, Dabar Echad, Mishnaso, Ma'ala Lava Kasub, Kilim Eschayev, Benavsho. So he quotes our Mishnah in totality, forgetting something, life is in danger, life is on the line, because it says, Raki Shamer Lacha, second line, fifth word on the line. Now, this is his beginning of explanation. Asher lo nasan bilvavo lemor ki hashichacha mitsuya vibnei adam. So what's this? What's the problem? Where's my failing, if you will? He says that you're not being realistic. Well, that's not exactly what he says. He says forgetting is common. Forgetting is, maybe we would say, natural, right?
It's even
a
right?
Yes, yes. But forgetting is a natural human response. It's part of our body. That this is something that that happens to us. So what's the failing of this person is that he didn't keep that in mind. He forgot. He didn't So therefore, what should I have done? Because I know that my memory stinks. So I should have reviewed it a bunch of times. Take notes. There are strategies that I should have implemented. I should have done it. Harbei pa'amim. I should have reviewed it. Lachshov ba kol hayom. I should think about it constantly. B'chol ha'layla, all day, all night. Ashlo tuchel asor mi libo. Until I can't possibly take it away from my heart. V'lo asah, meaning I should remind myself of it so many times that I'm not going to forget it. So it doesn't say that we have to forget. We're saying, but we're probably going to forget if we don't try not to forget. V'lo asah reze mischai b'nafsho. It's at that point there, he says explicitly, ha-reze, even though he said ki'ilu, ha-reze mischai b'nafsho, ki yavo lehoros al pi hazkaraso. So now he says this is another element here. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal? I forgot something. Who cares? So the question is, what's the downside? What's the you know, you make your pro cons list. What's the con of forgetting? So this is a very specific critique, and we'll see that others disagree with this. He says the problem is, and this goes to who is he talking to, right? Who's he talking to? Is it to all of us? Says, no, it's because somebody's going to come to ask me a question. You're talking to a rabbi, to a posek, to somebody who should know everything. Come to ask a question, and I'm going to say, V'yomer kach amar li Rebbe, V'yaser amutar, V'yater aser, V'nim says takala bal yadu. You're going to make a mistake in psak, and therefore people are going to do the incorrect halacha based on your mistake. So let's say I'm not a posek. Let's say nobody asked me for anything. So is there still a downside? Is the Mishnah talking to me? Or no, we just assume you're going to forget like everybody forgets. And so according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it seems to be just a critique of somebody who is supposed to remember because people are going to ask questions from that person. Now, what about the flip side of that? So if we're only talking about this posek, but he gets old, he forgets. So the Mishnah said, it's not his fault. He's not culpable. Well, that's an interesting question. So look at the last line in source number 2. He says, Yachal afilu takfa alav, im shakha al yedei azikna, ol yedei ones achar, rachmana patre. If I forget because of old age, or because of some other ones. Now he doesn't specify what other possible reason I wouldn't be able to remember that's not my fault. We'll see in another source, maybe something that'll get to that. But he just gives this blanket ones. Does that mean I got knocked on the head and I have an amnesia, so I can't remember anything? I can't form new memories, right? So it doesn't explain what this ones is. But he says for that case, the guy's off the hook. What's the problem with this? He's still answering wrong. And what should he have done? Sorry, what should he have done? He should have retired. He should have retired. So it's still a problem. Okay, you don't remember. Okay, so hang up your skates and call it a day. But no, so what does he say? So the Magen Avos in source number 3 says critiques this. Ve'eino nira li shiya hachiyuv mipnei shigigas harab. The problem here isn't a psach problem. It's not that I'm going to make a mistake in paskening a shiloh. It's going to she'im mipnei zeh mischai v'navsho. If that's the problem, im takva lav mishnaso lamu upater. If I become older, it's against my will. Why am I putter? Hare bata kol al yado. It's my fault that this. I shouldn't have given a psak if my memory is not well. Vayalulim noatz malaros. I should have prevented myself from paskening. So it can't be that it's a problem of psak. So then the question remains, so what's the problem? Right? What's the big deal about me forgetting something?
You make a sin.
How am I going to cause someone else to sin? Nobody's asking any questions. Right? So again, the one way to look at it is that it's a psak problem. Right? The Rashbat says here, I don't think it's a matter of psak, because then the mission doesn't make any sense. Why would he then not be, why would it not be a problem if he forgets? If he forgets, he's still making the wrong psak. Maybe you yourself will do something wrong. Okay.
I was going to say that because you're smart, it's a mitzvah, right? So if you have an obligation on yourself to keep it, and you forget what you're supposed to be keeping, you may make mistakes for yourself as well.
Okay, so maybe you'll make mistakes for yourself. That's fair. So let's see, though, what the Rashbat says. So look here. It says, Aval Nira, second line. Aval Nira, Shumishai benafsho, mipnei hashichacha atzma. Nothing to do with psak. It has to do with the forgetting itself is the problem. Why is the forgetting itself a problem? Shahaisa imo Torah mishmarto me'amabas. This is very interesting. He says, Torah gets back to a running theme that we've seen in the number of Mishnayos. What's the function of Torah? Is that it protects me from physical death. Right? We've seen this two or three times already. Torah protects me from physical death. So what happens if I forget my Torah? V'shachacha b'pshi'aso. If my own mistakes caused me to forget Torah, kedai hu she'ischayev b'nafsho. You lose the protection. You lose the protection. Okay, it's not my fault. God will still protect you. Right? But if it is my fault, then the Torah, which served as your protector, like when I was walking along on the road at night by myself and it was dangerous, the Torah protects me. If I don't learn, we saw commentators that said the Torah is not going to protect you. You're putting your life in danger physically. Same thing. Your life is in physical danger. Torah protects us. If you forget it, too bad. Right. So the Medrash says about David that when he was learning, the Malachim was going to get him, and then they made the tree fall, and then he got him at that second. Right.
That was active learning. He theoretically could have forgotten everything he did before, as long as he was actively learning.
Right. So that's another way of putting this, is that meaning it goes in one ear out the other, but at least I'm doing it as I. I'm busy with it. So that's another protective element of Torah. But here it's the remembering of it itself is the protection. Yeah.
There's a Tana. We learned about him last year. I can't remember which one it is, but he was from Zachariah 5. So he's the one who forgot all his Torah. And I mean, maybe it's just the mistress is telling us not to put yourself in a situation like he did, will where you will forget your Torah.
Right, so he moved away, and then they critiqued him because of that.
Right.
So maybe don't put yourself in situations that will be more likely for you to forget Torah. So we'll get there. We'll get there. So let's see. Source number four is going to just do one more thing for us in terms of what the other possibilities to it not being my fault is. So far we have why would it not be my fault? Either old age or some other vague type of onus. Some sort of, it's against my will. So Rav Avram Farisol says here, Aval im takfa mishnaso lekoshi habanaso legodoch lakeha. So he gives us some hope here. He says, if what's the reason why I can't remember it? What's the reason? It's too difficult and it's too much stuff. Right? There's just too many areas for me to remember.
That's not memory. That means I haven't absorbed it to begin with.
Good. So that's if I haven't absorbed it properly, presumably because it's not my fault. I gave the effort, but I wasn't able to. God, what do you want from me? I can't intellectually understand it. My IQ is not high enough for me to get this complicated sugya in Kutchim and Taharos. I just don't get it. So you expect me to remember that? I didn't understand it in the first place. So that's onus, right? So that's his definition. He's explaining to us that this is a type of onus. If I tried really hard, to be honest with ourselves what trying really hard is, but if I tried really hard and I just couldn't understand it, then that's an excuse for me not to remember. Okay? So let's...
It's hard to accept that.
Yeah.
That not remembering. If it's something you didn't know to begin with, it's hard to accept that his statement, I don't remember if I didn't know it in the first place.
That's why you're off the hook. Right? Shalom nichkav v'seichel v'shleimu. Shalom. But Joe, he's saying that you know how sometimes you hear something and like you as you're hearing it, it makes sense. But then, like, a second later, you're like, I don't even remember what I... That doesn't make... So it's something along those lines, I think he's describing. Is that not that it literally didn't process at all. That, you're right, it wouldn't make sense to say I forgot that. I didn't process it. But something that wasn't processed fully, wasn't fully understood. I didn't get the depth of it. It wasn't, what do you like to say, deep learning? What's the term?
Differentiating?
No. It's not surface learning. It's like it's deep. It's rooted in. I really fully get it, right? So keep reading here. I fully understood it, and then I forgot it. That's the problem. You didn't review it. You didn't try to remember it. You didn't try to understand it after that. That's when you're mischayev benafsha. So we have a little bit more of an excuse. I didn't fully get it. I couldn't understand it. That's why I forgot it. We're going to see source number 5 in a second. We've actually seen source number 5 before in a different Mishnah, which will come up in terms of basically one of the concepts that we're talking about now is to what level am I responsible for my brain, right? Is it my fault? You gave me this amount of memory, God. What do you want from me? Right? So anybody remember the Mishnah that we discussed this concept of me putting in what I could put in. I put in the effort and the rest is up to you.
Laser's not here.
Anybody remember?
Uh-oh.
Let's go.
No, we're going.
Right, so
I wasn't leaving.
You weren't here, Joe. You can listen online. You can listen online. That's not an excuse. So when it says that lo alecha hamlacha ligmor, it's not up to me to finish it, but it doesn't mean that I'm excused from trying. So we learned there. We'll see it in a second. In the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Babish Rebbe, the first of Babish Rebbe, talks about this concept within our Mishnah and within that Mishnah, and we'll see what he has to say in a second. But it's going to be the main idea of to what extent is this my fault? To what extent is it just normal human biology, and I can't be responsible for that? So we'll find out. Yeah.
This is not the first time that Babish doesn't look at Tanakh regarding Mishnah. So we have Moshe forgetting halachas because of anger, Yoshua forgetting halachas because of arrogance, Bnei Israel during their Avelus, Moshe forgetting 300, whatever the number is. So there are clear examples of emotions that are interfering with remembering.
Okay, excellent. So the 2 points. Your 1 point is why aren't they mentioning anything that, you know, Tanakh precedent, so we'll talk about that. And the second point, which is more important for the immediate concept of memory, is that there are things that happen to us that perhaps are in our control, like getting angry, that affect our memory. Or like getting distracted by our phones or whatever that affect our memory. That is our responsibility to some extent, and it could be something that we can work on. So we'll see that. But to your other point of why don't they quote the precedent, so that's not what Pirkei Avos does. Pirkei Avos doesn't quote precedent, doesn't quote stories. If you want to see that, you look at Avos Rabbi Nassan. To the most part, Avos Rabbi Nassan is a collection of extrapolations and stories from the Tanaim and perhaps a little bit later in the Amoraim, who collected stories based off of Pirkei Avos. It might have been a parallel, a debate whether or not it's a commentary on Pirkei Avos or it's sort of like a parallel track to Pirkei Avos. But in Avos Rabbi Nassan, they generally quote these type of stories. And they'll talk about Moshe, they'll talk about Avram, they'll talk about all the things that we've seen in Tanakh. So that would be a place to go. We haven't really been doing that, but maybe at some point we'll do that. But yeah.
What you just said, just to be honest, look at the context, look at where it's being written. It's written, the Torah Shabbat now has to be written down. We're at a point in time where people are forgetting all the time. So now it has to be written. So is this an argument for writing things down, helping people remember?
Right. So the question, it's a good question, meaning is the fact that we are now in Golos and we have so many problems going on, we're not going to remember the Torah, we're being dispersed. That's where Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote down the Mishnayos. Is that relevant here or not? The answer, our gut answer might be yes, but we will see perhaps today on the next side of the page, different Lubavitcher Rebbe, the most recent Lubavitcher Rebbe says no, that has nothing to do with that. That it's an independent thing. But it's an interesting thing to think about the historical context for this. So let's see source number five, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. It's a little bit long. Let's see what we can pull out without it being taking too long for us to do. He says here, Sif Hey, Va'al Yomar HaShokheach Davar Echad. You shouldn't say, somebody who forgot something. He's basing us off our Mishnah. Lo lamati davar zeh, ilu lo lamati davar zeh, lo nischayavti benafshi. Don't come to the shir. If I didn't learn this, I wouldn't be in trouble. My problem is I learned it and I forgot it, and now you're telling me that my life's on the line, so I'm not going to come. So he says, don't say that. V'lam eschayev kishlamati v'shechachti. Why should I be chayev? Why should I be obligated or culpable because I learned and I forgot? So why shouldn't I say that? Sounds like a fair argument. Why shouldn't I say that? Ki be'emes ilu lo lama davar zeh, lo ma'ale alava kasuv bilvad ki ilu mischayev b'nasho. Then your consequence isn't just that it's as if you're mischayev b'nasho. Elahaya mischayev b'nasho mamish. Right? If you didn't come and learn it, then you really would be culpable for death. Again, not necessarily literally, but to the point is that that's more severe to not learn. You're better off learning and forgetting than not learning at all. Because if you don't come to the shir, that's worse. You didn't learn, you didn't try, you didn't, that's mamish, chayev b'nafsho. Shekol mi she'efshar lo laharbos lehosif b'limudo b'inyan shlo yishkach b'zeh ma'ashalama kfar mipnei shekfar chazar al limudo karoi v'eno mosif apal pi she'eno mizbatal mitalmud Torah el chazar tamid al rishona shelo mipnei chshash shekacha el mipnei she'noach v'kalo yoser lachzar al rishonos mitorach b'limud chadosh. Now you have another possibility here. So why don't you just tell me, I'm going to learn one pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and I'm going to learn that over and over and over and over again, and I'll never forget it. Forget about all the other pasukim. Forget about all the other mishnayos. Forget about all the gemaras. Forget about everything. Shema Yisrael, I'm learning constantly, and I'm remembering it. That's great. So why don't I do that? So he says that's not good either. That's not Limud Torah. Right, but even maybe not as an extreme. Let's say there's one page of Tanakh that I like, or one chapter of Tanakh, one parak of Tehillim, one daf of Gemara that I really like, and that I can learn it over and over and over again. I'll know it by heart. I know it backwards, forwards. I can tell it to you. Give me a point to a word on the page. I'll be able to tell you exactly where it is. But that's the only page I know. So why not? I'm constantly learning, and I haven't forgotten anything. So why not do that? So he says, if you do that to understand that, to continue, if your motivation is to continue to understand that better, okay. But if your motivation is to just avoid learning something new because the new thing is too hard, then that's not good either. Right. So that's mipnei shenoach v'kalo yoser latzal rishonos. So it's easier for me to keep reviewing the same thing over and over again, militroch b'limud chadash, and from learning something else, hareze mischayev b'nafsho mamish. That itself also is really problematic. Like we've seen also in Perkei Avos, I always have to add. I can't stop growing. And if I don't, then I'm going to be taken, gathered before my time, because if you don't add, you will die. Yeah. If you don't add again, a lot of death penalties over here. If you do not add, if you do not keep growing, that's problematic also. So you have to keep going. You have to keep learning. You can't forget. But it's better to keep learning than to not learn at all, because that's even worse. Even if you forget, okay. Now, the lo amru, now he gets back to our Mishnah from a few months ago. The lo amru lo alecha amlacha ligmor. So when it says lo alecha malcha ligmor, it's not on you to finish it. So why do I say that? So you should tell me again, it's not on me to finish it, so I'll learn one page. I don't have to finish the whole thing. That's not the goal. The goal is to learn. So I'm learning one page. Again, that's not, you can't use that Mishnah as an excuse either to just learn one page. Because that's only to tell me that I shouldn't stop learning. Right? What would be my excuse to not learn? I'm not going to finish everything. There's no point in starting. I'm not going to understand everything. I don't have the brain power for it. My memory's not good enough, he says. I'm not going to be able to remember it. So that's my excuse. So no, that's not an excuse why. Because lo alacham lacha ligmor. It's not on you to finish it. But you can't say lo alacham lacha ligmor, I'm only going to learn one thing. So you got to keep trying. Don't use your poor memory as an excuse not to learn. Omi efes hapnai. So now we finally get another excuse here. I don't have time. I'm working. I'm earning a living. So what do you expect me to be learning all day long? I can't. So that's why it says, lo alecha machas, I don't want you to finish it. Just try your best. V'gam kol adam lo yuchal la'agia l'tachlis ha-Torah shemitzad atzma in la'kitz. You can't finish everything. It's too much Torah. You can't finish. So what do? Learn as much as you can. Do as much as you can. Review as much as you can. Now, go to Sifvav. Skip to the few lines down where it's bolded. When is this a problem that I forget something? That's if I'm when's it a problem? It's if I'm lazy. I didn't review properly. But if it's by accident, so what's the accident? When is it not my fault? What excuse can I possibly use? Kigon, shetarud harbe beparnasasa. Okay, so that's another good excuse. I'm just working too hard. Va'itim shekoveyalo ein maspikelo lachzor al kol limudo. I have 20 minutes to learn. I can't review everything all the time. I only have 20 minutes. Like maybe if I only have 20 minutes, you'll learn one thing. You could review that. But either way, his point is that I don't have enough time to keep reviewing everything. Shalamar kodim shiatarud ein mischayav benafsho. V'gam einu over belav. That's not mischayav benafsho, and it's also not a prohibition of Raki Shamar Lacha, because it's not my fault. V'chein, Sif Zayin, Misha Takfa V'gavar Alav Mishnasa. I'm just too, maybe I get too old. Neshu Chamura Alav, well here it says, Neshu Chamura Alav, it's too hard. U'lekach Mishkecha Mimeno, that's why I forget. V'lo Ho'yolo Masha Chazor Aleh, and I keep reviewing, I'm trying. Eino Mishchaye V'eino Over, Afa Pi She'eino Onus, She'yachol La'asu Tamim B'mishnayas V'alachos, so in theory, I could just keep reviewing these things over and over and over and over again and keep remembering them. But for that, we don't expect you to do that because we want you to learn other things too. So basically, big picture here from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is that this isn't like this teacher who has these impossible expectations for you. Right? God expects you to remember every single thing that you learn. You forget. Too bad. I once had a teacher, who was it? It's not a bad story, so I'm going to say his name. It's actually a good story. So remember Rabbi Kurtz from Flatbush? Rabbi Kurtz was in the library. He knew everything. He used to quote Akkadian in the middle of the 10th grade, kids, like what is he talking about? But his mind was so he can't, so there was a test that I took, and I didn't do well. And I told him, I just can't remember it. And he tells me, he says, can you remember the stats on the back of a basketball card? Yeah. Right. And I lied, and I said no. but I could, right? So I could remember the stats on the back of the basketball card, but I couldn't remember the stuff for the test. Why? So a few reasons. First of all, I probably didn't study hard enough, so that's my fault. That's not my brain's fault. The expectation is you have to study, you have to try, and then if you don't remember, but you have to try. So now the question is, so why did I remember the basketball? I didn't have to do chazara for the basketball cards, right? It's sort of like stuck. But the psukim, at least at that time, hopefully now it's changed a little bit, that, couldn't remember. In one ear, out the other. So why is that? Interest, motivation, meaning, right? So I think they once asked Rav Schechter from YU, who has also a crazy good memory, like, how do you remember everything? Like, there are people sit and learn all day, and they do review, and they don't necessarily remember everything. And so how do you remember everything? So probably, if I would answer that question from a psychological perspective, his working memory, his long-term memory is whatever, is just, really high. And he has such. But his answer, which is probably the true answer, is that, how can I forget something that's so important to me? Mm-hmm. Okay? So if you look at everything as being essential, motivation, inspiration, etc., then it sinks deeper. Right? So the basketball cards, if that's important to you, it's easy to remember. If something else is important to you, it's harder to remember. So the big point here as of right now, and we'll see one or two more sources before we finish, is that this isn't like you have to remember everything, and if you don't, you know, off with your head. This is what we do expect of you is for you to try your hardest. So now the question is, how do you try your hardest? What are you supposed to do? So flip the page. We're going to skip 6 for now, just for the sake of time, although it is interesting, we'll skip it. He brings together some, I told you before, some Mishnayos that we've done previously and analyzes the differences between them, but we're going to skip it. Source number 7 is the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and we're going to do this quickly. This gets to some extent with the example in the story that I just told you about with Schechter, is that Lubavitcher Rebbe understands this Mishnah, and he says... Let's just read it. Because of the Bartanuri, it says, source number 7. So first he quotes the idea that it's about psak. It's a problem in psak. Second line in the middle. So he quotes the Shulchan Aruch Harav, who we just quoted before. So it doesn't say that it's a matter of psak. How does he understand it? Umashma, third line. Shiladaito isru gam ba'etzem ha-shechecha. Like we saw in the Rashbats, it's not a problem of psach, it's a problem of just forgetting. So why is forgetting a problem? Lo rak machmas hatakol shiyachol lavo ketotzamen. Not because of that you might make a mistake. V'chen muchach od yoser mimashikas of admor hazaken. And we could also learn from the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Degam achshav shenichtav Torah Shabbat Pes. Get back to Sarip's point. Okay, we have Torah Shabbat Pes. Not such a big deal. I understand you tell me it's terrible you forgot something, because if you forgot it, it wasn't written anywhere. Nobody else knew it. Imagine you knew the one piece of Torah that your Rebbe gave over. Nobody wrote it because you weren't allowed to write it, and then you forgot it. It's gone forever. Done. So that's terrible. Okay, now it's not so terrible. I'll just write it down. We're allowed to write it down now. So he says, no, that's not the meaning. I could just write it down and look it up. I'll search it on Google. Einze moel klum. Ki miyad sheshachach over belav kodem shayin. The second I forget, he says, that's the problem. Right? So it's the essence of forgetting is the problem, not because of some functional reason that I'm going to make a mistake or that I'm not going to remember this ever again. The forgetting itself is inherently problematic. So the question is why? Right? So the etzem shechas haTorah is the problem. So why is that? So now, look in, just for the sake of time, we're going to skip the next paragraph. Go to the third paragraph. V'hatam she'etzem ha-shechecha hi inyan shel iser. Why is it prohibited for me to forget? U'miyad she'shochek divrei Torah over belav. The second I forget it, I violate this prohibition. Hu mipnei she'divrei Torah heim chayenu ve'orech yameinu. This is our lives. Torah is our life. Ve'etzem ha'davar she'shocheach u'mesalik davar echad m'mishnaso. You forgot something. You actively forgot something. You didn't put enough effort, and therefore you forgot something. Ha'rezem mesalik chayav mi'atzma. If Torah is our chayim, and you forget the chayim, you are removing part of your life. So the reason why this forgetting is so problematic is because of the importance of Torah. Torah is essential. Torah is our life. You forget it, you're a forgetting life. And that's terrible. Right? So this brings, I think, to the importance of why this Mishnah is there. It's not functional. It's not I'm going to make a mistake. It's not somebody's going to forget this. It's that I'm removing life from myself. And with this mindset, again, this could help, perhaps, if we believe this, motivate us to try more to remember. Because if I forget, I'm forgetting my life. I'm forgetting the chayim. I won't forget my birthday. I won't forget my spouse's birthday, maybe, hopefully. You know, anniversary, you forget once and then you'll never forget again, right? So that's something that is part of me. It's part of my identity. If Torah is part of your identity, then you're not going to forget it. So now, and this, with this part, we'll close. So look at source number 8. What do you want me to do? Right? So you're telling me motivation. Okay. Is that going to really solve the problem? Is it enough to just say, to convince myself that Torah is my life, therefore I'm not going to forget? Maybe that'll help, but I don't think it's enough. and the Mila Davos in source number 8, the Rishiyun, says that there are strategies. There are strategies. You want to learn, you want to study, right? A kid comes to you, they can't understand the material. Well, how are you studying? Do you have proper study skills? So what's the study skills from the Torah? Source number 8. Kasa Rishiyun, Shem Yiksha. So the Rishiyun, the Mila Davos, this is a secondary source that I quoted to you here from the Masifta. If you remember any time where I photocopy for you the Mila Davos, it's the one that has the impossible to read, right? It's the one where the letters are like they're not straight and half of them are missing and it's a weird script. So instead of butchering that for 15 minutes to try to go through it in the primary source, I thought it was easier to just get the secondary source here. So the Mila Davos says as follows: Kasav Arichiyun Shem Yikshalav Lachzor Limudo Bisfasav Yeharer Bo Belibo. So on the one hand, let's say, what's one thing you should do? You should verbalize it. Verbalize your learning. If verbalizing is difficult, so think about it. K'mamar kasav imru b'lavchem v'al mishkavchem v'hosif shahadvarim ha'ozrim l'zikaronim. What are the things that are going to help me remember? Halimud el hazulas. Teach somebody else. Have a chavrusa. Become a peer tutor. From the fact that you have to discuss it with a friend and there's a back and forth, now you're going to remember it better. So you're processing it better. It's getting more deep into your memory, and therefore you remember it better. Sorry? Yeah, right. That's why chavrusa is so important. V'chein ha'limud b'mei ha'na'arus is another thing. Learning when you're young. Either you did it or you didn't. Sheshavchu hu chazal b'gemara Shabbos shamru girsa d'yankusa. So the earlier in life we learn, the easier it is. From a psychological perspective, maybe the more schemas you have when you learn it later in life, you're able to put it in different boxes better and remember it. This isn't the last time we're going to do the concept of memory. There is a later Mishnah that talks about learning when you're young versus learning when you're old.
Like an unwritten paper.
Yeah, that's the Mishnah with the paper that in the dio, the ink that sticks. And then give me one second. So when we do that, we're going to elaborate on some more. I was thinking about combining them together. But obviously, we had enough here. When we do that, we'll focus on some more issues. But that's in the chapter 5. So got some time. By then, you'll forget this, and then we'll be able to do it again. Okay. So v'chein halim b'nei narus girsa d'yachz v'chein yizar adam shlo yatrid atzma ba'asakim gedolim shem gormim shichacha. And don't do things. Don't occupy yourself with things that cause us to forget. So what are things that cause us to forget? So I think insert here phones. Doing things that are distracting. I think what Barry said before in terms of having emotional regulation or be able to not get distracted by our own emotions that make us forget things. V'chein yikra limudo b'kol ram. Another thing is you should talk out loud. You shouldn't just read it. Sometimes we read, we skim it over, we don't actually process it well. So there are many gemaras, there are many midrashim, there are many chazals that give us strategies as to how to learn better, so therefore we could remember better. And he says, Kamuvar b'gemara Erevin, he quotes some sources for us. We'll skip that now for the sake of time. But there are strategies out there. And I would argue that we should try to find even more strategies. Do a Google search, strategies for remembering, and see what they say. How often do I have to review it? Is there some sort of cute little text box that I could put it in and then look at it later, right? Is there some, whatever strategy works for us, that's what we gotta try to do. So I think the main message from my perspective is, it's one thing to forget. We forget. But if we don't try to remember, then that's the problem, right? If we're not doing whatever's in our capabilities to make it a fair fight against our memory, which includes reviewing, which includes teaching others, which includes saying it out loud, all that stuff, we have to try to do that. And then if we forget, God, that's in your hands. That's not my fault. But if we don't put the effort in, if we're lazy, and it goes in one ear and out the other, then there's a taina here. They have a point. You didn't remember. This should be important to us. This should be our chayenu. This should be our life. And if we don't treat it with that same and proper respect, that, and we forget it, and that's inherently problematic. We're giving up some level of ourselves, of our identity, of what should be our identity, and that's Kilu Mischayev Bin Nafsha. So we're going to take questions, and then we'll stop. Yeah?
Are you really fully aware of what you learned? Because sometimes you remember things that come back to you at a later time that you didn't even realize. You may have experienced something and it comes back to you.
Right. So things. So there could there again. So we're not going to do a whole understanding of all the different types of memories that we have. But there are those types of memories do exist. This memory is more on factual memory, right? And the way to keep facts in our brain is to make sure we review it. Yes, maybe we learn something and then 10 years later it just pops into our head. Great, right? But for the most part, the things that we're learning, we have to review. It's the only shot we have of really remembering it. Okay, so I expect everybody to review. Yeah.
One of my friends is developing Alzheimer's because in her depressiveness has caused her to be so unconcerned. She doesn't care. She doesn't listen. And her mind is actually being affected by
it. Right. So it's probably more complicated than just not caring. There's probably some element of more biology there than a moral failing, if you will. But I hear. I mean, Alzheimer's is definitely relevant to this, and that's takfa olav nishnasa. Sometimes you can't control everything. Yeah.
One of the things that I did find with a lot of the Gaon that I have met was that their understanding was concrete. In other words, they had a very, very real understanding of the things that they were learning, which is something that most people don't. You read a whole page of words, and you don't necessarily know exactly the focuses on it. I think, like, for example, something people will remember, for instance, that Abraham had a tent open on four sides. They remember less the fact that it was Pesach, there were three matzahs, there were all these other little details, the fact that he ran himself even though he was old. They don't remember all those details as well. But the Gedolim really did remember, in a very visual memory.
Right, so that could be, again, more strategies. Maybe when we do it next time, I'll make an exhaustive list of all the different types of strategies. But that's true. If I visualize it as I'm learning it, and I can put... And there are memory strategies out there. There's a good book by it's called Moonwalking with Einstein. I actually think your son told me about it at some point. He liked it, so I read it also. And it's about these memory champions who do these crazy. They remember what?
It's like a memory house.
So the point of the book is that this journalist went on this mission to find out these people have these crazy memories, and his assumption, which most of us assume, is that somebody who has photographic memory, so that's why they remember things. And all of these memory champions basically say they don't have photographic memories, but there are strategies that they use to help them remember things that they could remember decks of cards, the order of decks of randomized decks of cards. Within a few minutes, just from strategies of training their brain to be able to remember. So there's a lot of cool, interesting stuff in terms of the strategies. Maybe I'll do that for next time we do memory. It'll be an interesting way of framing it. It is different for everyone, but I guess my main point is, if you didn't try, you can't. Like Rabbi Kurtz told me, it's like if you don't try, you don't have an excuse. If you tried and you tried all the strategies and you worked really hard and then you didn't remember it, that's takfa olav nishnasa. If you didn't try, you just say, okay, I have a bad memory. Did you write it down? Did you review it? Did you visualize it? Did you read it out loud? Right? Okay. Yeah, and then we have to bench. Yeah.
I think our educational system fails in this area because we don't teach our children to study. Like you're saying, did you review it?
Right, but there are ways. So I'll give you one last example, and maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll bring this. That's a learning thing by heart. Right. So I'll tell you one last thing before, and maybe I'll bring this in next time. Also, in the psychology book that I used to teach psychology at Lehman College. So in the book, they tell you, they say, use psychology to help you remember the stuff. So in the first chapter, they give you a rundown of all of the memory tricks that you should be that we'll learn about in chapter 6 when we do memory. But use that as you go through chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. to try to remember all the information on the other chapters. So it sounds like this is something you guys might be interested in. So I'll try to bring in some examples of that, of what these types of practical strategies are, whether or not we do that well personally or as a community, as individuals, as schools. You know, we can critique other people, but we got to work on it ourselves also. Okay, so let's call it a day. Bench.